We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, welcome into another episode of Candid Coaches Conversations. I'm Jeff Goodman. We got Charlton Young, my partner in crime here, and we got another group of good assistant coaches. In addition, we had to get a veteran recruiting guy for this episode, and we came up with the oldest one that I could find. Eric Bossy, director national. What's your title now, Eric?
Director of basketball for 24/7 Sports.
There you go. There you go. So happy to have you on. And the topic today is kind of getting back on the road for coaches, being back on the road after a year off, and not only being on the road and maybe sharing some stories, but also the impact that not being on the road will have on college basketball this year. But, you know, I wanted to talk to all you guys about maybe the recruiting model, any suggestions you guys have, any thoughts going forward. But without further ado, let's go around the room like we usually do, CY, and we'll start top left corner for me, Jimmy Williams from Furman. Jimmy, good to have you on.
Hey, thanks for having me on. This is a great group of guys. When you invited me to come out and you sent me the list of coaches on here, I got so excited because it's good to see so many faces. Topic near and dear to all of our hearts, recruiting. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of these guys on the screen in person and in the gym finally again.
Jimmy, give a quick 20-second background about you.
So this will be my fourth year here at Furman. Bob Ritchie got the job here, and he and I were friends. I coached at a D2 down the road, North Greenville University, and he was an assistant here at Furman. When he got bumped up, built those relationships through recruiting and just being not far from each other, and gave me a call and offered me a job, and it was a complete no-brainer. So love it here in Greenville, love it here at Furman, and obviously we do things with our recruiting a little bit different, so I'm excited to get different ideas and kind of share how we do things at Furman with the academic piece and with the type of kid that we go after, but excited to talk to all you guys and just pick each other's brains.
David Patrick, we're not going to ask you to talk about Ben Simmons, I promise, in a shot.
Maybe get any of you shoot free throws, mate. Maybe it'll help me out. But hey, obviously I'm at University of Oklahoma, David Patrick. Man, I've been there about 2 months now. Prior to that, I was at Arkansas with Eric Musselman. You know, I was there for basically a year. And this last year, I moved twice. CY was one of my mentors in this. I was the head coach at UC Riverside out in California. And COVID hit, and I didn't know we would have an athletic program this time last year. I was just reflecting on it last night. Like, man, I didn't know if I'd be coaching anywhere this time last year. Got the opportunity to make the move at a Power Five and decided to leave the head coaching chair, which is not normal, to go back as an assistant. But I thought it gave me opened some more doors for me this past year with the success we had. Obviously, I regret being a head coach sometimes, but I think the position I'm in now will open up some bigger doors for me. So I've been recruiting on the West Coast and back in the South. It's a lot of you monsters. So trying to just figure that out after being away for a couple of years and losing track of some guys.
Dwayne.
Morning, gentlemen. Dwayne Simpkins here at George Mason. I'm actually in going into my seventh year here at George Mason. My first year upcoming with our new head coach, Kim English. I'm a DMV guy. Went to DeMatha High School, was a McDonald's All-American there, went on to the University of Maryland and played. And just finished my 10th year overall in college basketball. My first opportunity was with Pat Scarry as a director of operations at Towson University, his very first year there. And then I moved on to work with another coach who was in his very first year in West Miller, UNC Greensboro. And that's where actually I ran into Charleston CY with his Georgia Southern team. And I was fortunate enough to come on board here with George at George Mason with Dave Paulson going on 7 years ago now. And again, working now with Kim English. And I'm really excited about what we got going on here, working with the new regime, getting a chance to learn different things. And obviously really, really impressed with the guys that you got on this podcast right here, because I've always seen all these guys on the road for the most part, and looking forward to learning more.
Brian?
What's up, fellas? Appreciate you having me on here, Jeff and CY. This is just my 8th year at Harvard. Also spent some time at Rice and Stanford, and then at Tennessee with Coach Summit on the women's side. And frankly, after not playing the last year in the Ivy League, I'm just excited to be back on the road and back in the office. So this is great.
Yeah, I figured you'd be a good guy to have on this call after taking a 8-month vacation the last year. So, Mike?
Oh, good morning, fellas. Good to be on, Jeff. Appreciate you having me. CY, my guy. Jeff, I know when you asked us to introduce ourselves, I didn't know that meant superlatives from our playing career, man, like Dwayne Simpkins, you know, so subtly offered. So I'm a third team All-MAC guy from DeMatha Catholic High School myself. Been in the business 13 years. First job was video coordinator with Shaka Smart at VCU. So long time ago, I still tell Shaka I'm his best video coordinator ever. Was at the University of Delaware, my alma mater, for Monte Ross for 2 years, and going into my 10th year with Coach Mack, 6 at Xavier, 4 at the University of Louisville. Really excited to be on this podcast with all of you talented men, and excited to be back on the road. It was good this weekend, and looking forward to this weekend coming up as well.
Man, if we do, you know, playing superlatives, we'll be here all day for CY. We got to cut this out right now.
Hey, Jeff,
right
Jeff,
now.
Hey,
Jeff, I didn't know that was a part of the profile. Hey, Jeff, I didn't know we were doing that.
Hey, look, Jeff, just so you know, in the DMV, man, we don't talk about being third team all that. You're the first team. You even made it, you didn't. So, you know, I mean, I'll leave that alone.
Oh, man. All right, Yurik.
Good morning, fellas. Jeff, CY, I really appreciate you guys inviting me on. Yurik Malagi. I'm in my first year at University of Texas. I guess I'm wrapping up almost 3 months here. This is going on my third season with Coach Chris Beard, entering my 5th season coaching at the collegiate level. I guess I've pretty much broke the record for the most schools, in the state of Texas. I've pretty much worked at every institution. But really excited about what we have going on here at the 40 Acres here at the University of Texas, and excited to be on.
Ronnie?
Jeff, I appreciate you having me on. Good morning, fellas. When I got the invite, I was fired up because I've seen some of the previous Field of 68 podcasts, and I felt like I finally arrived being on there with this group of guys. And I probably got a different path or background than everybody on the screen. My superlatives would be totally different. You know, I was a football guy. I got a football background, but I had a passion for the game of basketball. And so I got into coaching 2000, I guess it was 3. And one of my first memories, CY will laugh when I tell this story. We're down in Atlanta. I think it was Georgia Southwestern, Ken Littlefield event, bless his soul. And, man, the event didn't start on time. If you know Ken Littlefield, the event never started on time. And throughout the whole event, all they played was, "Hey, DJ, that's my DJ." They met CY, man, and he's been a mentor. So this is cool for me to be on with you guys. This is going on my 4th year at Ole Miss. Been with Coach Davis Kermit for going on 8 years now, going back to Middle Tennessee State. Really excited what we've built here so far. Still got a lot of work to do. But, again, just excited to be on with you guys. Looking forward to the podcast.
When I first got into this and got into recruiting, Eric Bossy was in as well. I don't know if you had just been in or we came in about the same time, but I always considered you a friend, always considered somebody that I could kind of count on, and you helped me, honestly, huge over the years. So appreciate you joining us, and honestly, nobody better at what they did.
Yeah, appreciate you having me on. You know, I'm familiar with and know most of you on this group. A few of you are new to me, and I'm new to a few of you, but I started back in the summer of 2000. So this is my 21st summer on the road. Been doing, or 22nd, I guess, technically, something like that. Been doing this a long time. Eric Bossy, director of basketball for 24/7 Sports. Started prepstars.com way back in the day. Had a scouting service for college coaches that I got up to about 110 subscribers. Then I started working for rivals.com in 2010 full time and kind of gave that up, which in retrospect was a poor decision. But started at 24/7 here about 9 months ago. And, you know, whereas last weekend was the first weekend on the road for you guys, I've been out quite a bit prior to that. So it was, I think I have a unique perspective just because I'd at least had a chance to get in and have an idea of what you guys were walking into and stuff. So I'm curious to see about, you know, reflections on guys that you thought you were going to like, guys that you thought you were going to dislike, and how you handle all that moving forward.
George.
Hey guys, Jeff CY. Thanks for having me on. George Halkovich here, associate head coach at Villanova. I've been here since college, so played Division III basketball at Babson College and graduated in 08 and came in as a graduate assistant in 08-09 here, and I've been here ever since. And I've been lucky enough to work under a lot of guys who mentored me along the way, obviously being Coach Wright, number one, and other great guys who have moved on, and just really, really excited to learn from you guys as well, and in terms of just recruiting and share different ideas and thoughts about how people do different things at different places. I think this is a really cool thing we're doing here. I'm just glad that Pegues is no longer in our conference. It's always good when you're when you get to see dudes on the road and they're wearing a shirt from another conference. You don't have to go up against them twice a year. But one thing, just all of you guys along the way, being a younger guy, DP, I remember meeting you as a young buck, man. And Dwayne Simpkins, you know, you go on down at the DMV and you got to make sure that those dudes like you who are from down there as well when you go recruit. We recruit down there a lot. And all you guys have been so awesome to me, just welcoming me in when I moved into the assistant role back in 17.
Thanks, George. CY, with your new blood shirt. I can't believe this is the first time I think I'm seeing the new blood shirt since we've been on here.
I broke it out, special delivery for the day. I'm Charlton CY Young. I'm a Burger King All-American out of Miami Carroll City Senior High School. Charlton CY Young, Florida State. Hey, Pegues, you went to McDonald's like Dwayne, but 99, you hit us for 26, 14, and 8. You should have been a McDonald's when I was at Northeastern the way you did us in America East. But glad to have everybody on the show. Just remember, as we go through this, don't let Goodman bring you down with profanity. This is a good family show we have here. So as you guys get excited, don't let Goodman bring you down.
I'm usually good for one an episode, and then see what gets me in line. Last but not least, Mauro.
How's it going, everyone? Thanks, CY. Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you all having me on. You know, I've kept up with this podcast since you guys have started it. You know, I'm super excited to be on board and be able to talk about, you know, something that we all love to do, especially, you know, now that we've had the chance to get back out and about on the road, you know. So, but for me, Amaro Morgan is my name. I'm assistant coach at Loyola University Chicago. Just got hired here a few months ago. Was down at the University of South Alabama with Richie Riley there. I also have, you know, somewhat of a non-traditional path as well. Played the game originally from Memphis, Tennessee. Actually one of those dudes that kind of just took whatever he could get, you know, played prep school basketball at the Patterson School back in 2006 and, went to Idaho State, miles and miles away from home, and, had a chance to play professionally for a little bit after that and jumped into the profession, at the Division II level and kind of just worked my way about. You know, I've probably been at every level, you know, outside of junior college and D3, been at the NAIA level, Division II level. And first got my Division I crack with Richie Riley down at Nicholls State. There we had a little bit of success and had a chance to move on. And, you know, I've known Drew Valentine, Coach Valentine, for a while now. So when the opportunity presented itself, you know, with the recent success and the culture that they have, I thought it was a no-brainer. So I'm fired up to be on board, and I'm excited to learn from all of you dudes today.
So really the intent of this one, a little bit looser than some of the past, I guess, ones we've had, because the topic is a little bit lighter, I guess, to some degree, right? I mean, getting back on the road, I didn't go out the first weekend. I'm going to go out this weekend, but I guess what's it been like, and how different is it? How is it different? And anybody can kind of jump in here and chime in, but like, what's been the biggest difference? You guys haven't been on the road in a year. Is it different, or is it kind of the same old? And the only difference is seeing faces again when we haven't had this.
Man, I guess for me, I'll chime in. For me, it was like seeing some of these prospects, man. You see them on film, and they, you think they're 6'4". You walk in the gym, and they're 6'1". I mean, that was surprising to me. And then seeing some guys that weren't ranked because they weren't out last summer. That's some guys that kind of didn't, quote unquote, have names, and that you walk in the gym, and they're pretty dang good. And so I think I felt like the last week you have to trust your ability to evaluate rather than just look at rankings and see, like, does this prospect really fit your system? And that was a little bit different for me, just coming back to the South and coming back to the Power 5 level and seeing who guys were. Because some of the guys that were ranked high weren't as good as I thought they would be, and some of the guys that weren't ranked were better than I thought. So that was kind of from my perspective.
Are you saying you don't trust Bossy's evaluations?
No, I do.
Evaluations right now.
I trust EB. That's, no, he can't get everywhere. So he's good. He ain't that good.
Yeah, no, it's like, for my aspect, it's walking through. We're working on like the class of 2022 right now, and it's carnage. You know, evaluating on film is one thing, but in person is another. And also, you know, 15 months changes a lot. 3 months changes a lot with these guys, and seeing them in a high school situation like last weekend is also so much different than an AU situation. And I felt like a lot of coaches were glad to see the high school situation, because guys can't rely. If you're a dude, you can't rely on another dude to do the heavy lifting for you. There's so much structure involved. I thought it was a good situation.
Yeah, I piggyback on what Eric just said from a standpoint of, it's always different when you see a prospect play with his AAU team versus his high school team. You know, sometimes it's both good and bad. You know, on his AAU team, you know, if you saw him a month or two ago, you say, hey, you know, this guy's strictly a spot up shooter or whatever. And not knowing that that is his particular role on that team, because he's got a couple of pretty good dudes. And you see him on his high school team, and his role is different. And it's always interesting to see what players can actually step up and carry the load, like you said. The other thing that's really interesting is, you know, we've been watching film and everything, and all depending on which stream you get, you know, you might see some transition defense because the camera hasn't quite moved to that side of the court. And then obviously, man, when you talk about, everyone talks about culture, you know, getting a chance to see a player up close and personal, like, how does he respond to two missed shots or turnover or coach getting on him? You know, how is his demeanor on the bench? You know, all those things are really important if you're trying to holistically recruit a prospect. So I think all those things were brought to light a lot more when you are able to sit in, you know, in person.
What's it been like for some of you mid-major guys on here too? What's been the difference for you guys? Because I feel like you guys might be more of an advantage with everybody not being able to go out a year ago. You know, guys might have slipped through the cracks. Maybe you get a guy that you shouldn't have got. Jimmy, like, any truth to that?
Definitely. And for us, you know, last weekend, I didn't even go out. I know that sounds crazy, but I didn't even go out. We had a staff meeting in May, and Jeremy, Tim, and I had our whole script of where we're going to be and who we're going to see in June. Bob said, what if we do it different and we focus our month of June on getting guys to our campus? We got a top 10 campus in the country. We want to build relationships. We don't get into the transfer portal business. We're going to develop a ton. We're going to bring in guys that you know, want to work, and we want them to know what we're all about. And it's not for everybody. Some guys come on our campus and they're like, yes, that's where I want to be. And they commit immediately. And other guys will come on campus and be like, no, I want to go to a bigger level, or I want to go somewhere else where it's not that much of a commitment to development. We're always trying to grow everybody here. And like for us, this whole month has just been almost every day filled with guys on our campus, and we shut everything down. There's no other thing going on but that day with the recruit. And then once they get here, the big part about it is the best way to show our recruits who we are is, hey, we're not going to be at every one of your games in June and July. We're not. We've evaluated you. You're on a short list. We've offered you. We want you here. And we think you're a perfect fit. But as proof of what we're going to do once you do commit here, we're going to develop you. We're going to spend our time with you. We're not going to have our assistant coaches and our whole staff all over the country. We're going to be with you on a daily basis, focusing on developing you and your man.
Brian, for you, again, you're in like the most unique situation in the Ivy. You didn't play last year. I don't know what you did every day, but you got to be like so happy to be out right now on the road, even seeing horrible AAU basketball. You want to be out watching. That's how I am. I just want to get out. I don't care how bad the basketball is right now. I just want to get out, see some of you guys, see some players. It feel normal again.
Yeah, no doubt. That was the biggest thing for our staff is just, you know, you actually felt like you were a basketball coach and you were, you know, competing for players, recruiting, seeing, you know, other assistant coaches out or head coaches out on the road. It was just a bit of normalcy that I haven't had in 16 months. And speaking, you know, in general, I think there are going to be a little bit more mistakes with this 2022 class. But I think, had the pandemic happened 10 years ago, it would have been a bigger deal. Now there might be a mistake for, you know, this cycle of kids, but within a year or two with the transfer portal, they're going to kind of balance itself out and they're going to find the right or appropriate level a little faster than had this happened 10 years ago. Maybe it's harder to transfer or there are just less transfers in general. Maybe you do get that mid-major, you know, kid that's a stud more frequently, you know, 10 years ago. But then, you know, you talked about us in the Ivy League, and I'm sure some of the other coaches can speak to this. I don't really know what I have on our team. Half of our team hasn't even, you know, played a college game or had a college practice. So we're an outlier there, but, you know, we just don't know what we're looking for because we don't know what is currently on our team, especially with our younger guys. We just haven't seen them in person. We haven't seen them up close. We have one incoming freshman that our coaches have never met yet. So just we're flying a little blind right now. So, it's certainly a unique circumstance.
Yeah. It's crazy to me to think. Anybody have a great story of somebody they recruited, somebody on the staff recruited, they came in and you were like, whoa, like for better or worse, you don't have to say their name if it's for worse, but is there something, I assume one of you had to have some great story of a kid coming on campus and just being shocked at something about them.
Well, I'll just say this, Jeff, you know, I would say most guys would feel this way. Like when you first get your freshman there, you know, that first workout, everybody's nervous, even when you've been on the road, because you want those guys to show up that first day and confirm, you know, everything you thought about them or what you talk to your head coach about or your staff. But this year felt a little bit even different. Almost was like, you know, Christmas, because we hadn't seen these guys in person. You know, we hadn't seen them when they came to campus, like the first time meeting them. So everybody was on pins and needles. I know for our staff a little bit with our freshmen and our new guys, like how good are they? You know, and so even more so than years past. But I tell you, we were surprised in a good way, for the majority of our guys in terms of just them coming in, being ready to play, the pace. I mentioned it's a CY, you know, on a particular player we got in. I mean, he was, I thought he was good. And the one thing through the pandemic that I ended up, you know, finding for me personally was with guys like Bossy, I leaned on those guys more than ever because we couldn't be out. So talking to guys like him and Jamie Shaw and Travis Banham, but at the same time, it's their opinion, you know, and other guys around those kids. And so I tried to do my due diligence to know when we got them, what we were getting. We were pleasantly surprised on a handful of our guys that when they came in, they were better than we even thought. So that part of it was good, you know, and I think that's the part where even in a pandemic, when you have live stream and you have the technology to watch guys, you can still not necessarily make mistakes as much as you thought maybe in the past, because you did have the tools to watch these guys on film, you know.
My thoughts on us going out this weekend, it reaffirmed to me how critical the word evaluation is to our profession and to being a coach. For the first time in my career, I almost had a little bit of embarrassment and almost of an anxiety attack, because I'm kind of a guy that I pride myself on knowing all the guys, especially in the South, but nationally. And then I would always have like another little small list of about 8 to 15 guys that were going to blow that nobody knew. Like I knew those guys and had been messing around. So I go out this weekend and this past weekend, I'm happy to be in the gym and I'm watching games and I got some guys I've been on, but I'm watching. I'm like, who was that? You know what I mean? Who was that? So I see some low major guy, supposed to be low major, and he's getting off on court in 10. And now I'm like, I'm out of my element now. This is because, you know, so we here at Florida State, we probably were 2 years ahead, in terms of having kids that we were locked into. But now after a year and a half, we was kind of losing. We was like running out of reserve. You know, we was running out of supplies and we needed to get back out and restock. And but it was also good to see kids that had been working hard, that had nothing, that blew up that day and had their day too. You can forget about the kids' perspective. There are some kids that didn't have nothing that walked into that Georgia High School Association live camp and it was like kaboom. And so I was happy for those kids.
Hey, Jeff, if I could piggyback on that too, the other thing that's really important is that throughout the country, you know, each state, each jurisdiction had different rules for COVID and what they could do. And I think it's even more imperative now that, you know, in doing your due diligence, you actually go to the second and third layer to find out like, hey, you know, Jimmy, I thought was going to be a pretty good player. And I was a little surprised to see like maybe he's not as good. And the more questioning you do, it's like, hey, yeah, his high school was shut down. He couldn't get into the gym. Yeah, he worked out outside or whatever the case may be. I think you have so many other variables that you don't quite see. You know, you saw I'm a big baseline guy. I like to see a kid as a ninth grader. What does he look like during his ninth grade season, his 10th grade season? And you start to project like where he could be like, hey, that kid's going to be a Florida State kid. I'm not messing around with that. But there's another kid that's like steadily moving up the ranks. And you're like, he didn't take the step that I thought, you know, and every kid, I think, is going to have a different story. And I think it's incumbent upon us as coaches to really actually do our due diligence and get to that second and third layer to find out, hey, why? And then sometimes there are some answers as to why.
That's a great point. Like, I didn't think about that. But, right, yeah. Everybody's on a different level in terms of what they're able to do. And, no, you're right. Are you guys overwhelmed? Like, George, Villanova, what do we think about? Culture, finding the right guys for that program and for Jay Wright. Is it overwhelming because of the restrictions and maybe not getting to know these kids as well? I mean, knowing them on a Zoom is different than getting a feel for them in person.
I think luckily for us, and you can't predict these things, we had, you know, an older team last year, and even having Colin Gillespie and Jermaine Samuels come back and use the COVID year for us is a different type of recruitment that we never even expected we were going to have on our hands. But thank God for the COVID waiver, I guess. So having older guys, I think, helps that, Jeff, because those guys, your best teachers of your culture are the players that are already there and guys who truly get it. And those two get it more than anybody. I mean, Coach Wright's been, you know, been quoted as saying Colin Gillespie is the best leader we've ever had here. But it also is because he got to learn from Jalen Brunson, who learned from Ryan. You know, so there's a trickle-down effect to where these guys just keep getting better and better and helping each other. But we were a little bit ahead in terms of the 2021 class because we knew we had to work at it already earlier than when it even hit in COVID. So we locked in on those guys before really the outbreak. You know, we found the kid Angelo Brizzi after, so we had to do a lot of the film and getting to know him over Zoom, which was different. But the other guys we had, Trey Patterson, Nana Njoku, and Jordan Longino, we knew from recruiting them prior, which we were very lucky for. You know, you don't know, sometimes you can't predict these things. So that was a huge blessing looking back. But you know, the culture thing, I think it's just a consistency, and, you know, whoever the older guys are and the leaders are, they just take the approach to make sure they're reinforcing it as well. So the one thing about culture now is going to be, we were around each other. I mean, dang, all of us had different lives where it was kind of nice to be around the team you had all year. And really being the thoroughs of it with those guys, and it was ball all the time. Now you had to deal with all like the testing and COVID and this and the you know, the anxiety of that. But now we got to put another element of going back on the road out, and then still balance that with getting back to campus to be with the guys in the summer, which we love to do as well. I mean, that's what we love to do the most is coach. So that'll be the new challenge.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about that. You're there all the time. You can't go out. So you're around your current players all the time. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize what like May and June are like for you guys right now. Like June is not an easy month, is it? Because you've got your players coming on campus right now, your new guys, even your holdovers. You're dealing with recruiting. A lot of you are dealing with camps. Like they don't understand what the off season is like. Yurik, maybe you can talk about it a little bit since you're at a new spot and you're trying to recruit a whole new team at Texas. I don't know if you guys got camp or what you got going on, but you know, again, you're trying to keep the Courtney Ramies and those guys. Like, what's it been like, and what is it like for those that don't understand of like a typical June?
Yeah, you know, our June has been crazy, man. When June first hit and, I mean, it has been a little overwhelming. Obviously you have, you know, our guys, coming to campus, getting to know those guys. We were fortunate enough to sign about 5 or 6 transfers out of the portal. You know, we worked really hard when we first got the job to try to retain, some of these guys, and 4 guys that we were able to retain. You know, if they would have been in the transfer portal, we would have recruited them happily, and welcomed them here to Texas. So, we were blessed that those guys were, decided to stay on with us. But then, you know, obviously now you have, you know, classes are starting, workouts are starting, and then recruiting. You know, it was a time where we probably had, you know, the first 15 days of June, I think we had 13 days where we had a visitor on campus, either officially or unofficially. So I think all of it just coming at you all at once, man, I think that it was a little overwhelming. It helps to have such a big staff where we know, you know, a lot of people, and we were able to kind of be able to manage a lot of situations with players and coaches coming on and off campus. So, but, you know, going off campus recruiting this past weekend was tough because, like you said, you know, we've been so used to being around our guys all the time. And so to leave those guys for the weekend and guys, you know, wanting to be around you and not being able to, you know, come in the office and see, you miss those guys, you know, but, it's been wild. It's great to be back on the road recruiting. To piggyback off what Dwayne talked about, and you know, it's a lot of, you know, when it comes to that evaluation piece, you know, see why, you know, we've talked about it, you know, quite a bit, you know, over the years, but I just think it's, you know, just being able to evaluate guys in different settings, I think is really key too. You know, some guys, they thrive in a camp setting. Some guys thrive with their high school team or thrive with their AAU team, or it can go the other way. You know, we've always been a staff that value watching film. Jeff, as you know, we watch a lot of film, but it's nothing like being able to be in the gym and seeing these players interact with their teammates, their coaches, the referees, being able to handle adversity. And then also the parents. We can't forget about the parents, the crazy parents that you can't hear on Baller TV. To be able to say, oh, you know, we don't want to deal with that. Not good enough, you know. So, but no, it's definitely been good to be back in the gym.
I got 2 things real quick. First, I want to say just the warm up line. I was just excited just to see the warm up line, see guys walk to the bench at the timeout, but just see the warm up line. I can tell a lot in the warm up line how a guy warms up. I just miss the warm up line so bad.
Let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now is the time. Bet Rivers Sportsbook is offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart? They require just 1 playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. When you win at Bet Rivers Sportsbook, they pay fast. And now it's even faster. with Rush Pay instant approval for withdrawals. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable. Go to BetRivers.com today or download the app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Quick break from Jeff and the gang to tell you today's show is brought to you in part by LinkedIn. Today, many small business owners are busier than ever. Again, as someone who owns a small business, I can attest to that. We're cranking right now. It's great though. It's going to be busy again because they're focused on managing and growing their businesses. That's also correct, right? Trying to manage inventory is impossible right now. They can't always spend the time they wish. They could be on recruiting. Also true. Again, as owner of a small business, this is all right on the money. That's why LinkedIn Jobs has made it easier to find and hire the best candidate for free. Okay. Look, we're almost back to normal here. When we finally have the ability to go out and hire someone again, you best believe I'm going to be using LinkedIn Jobs because they post your job free and they reach LinkedIn's network of 740 million professionals. I mean, that's a ginormous talent pool you're picking from. Fill out targeted screening questions to get your role in front of the most qualified candidates with the experience, skills, and motivations you need. Then use the simple tools to filter, prioritize the top candidates of the interview. Seems simple, no? LinkedIn Jobs will help you hire just the right person for your role. And your first job post is free. That's free, folks. Just visit LinkedIn.com/good. That's LinkedIn.com/good to post your first job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
But the second thing I want to say is off subject, Jeff. I got to interrupt our broadcast and say this. But, man, baby boy, I'm so proud of you. You 20 years, you're not the same little young Thundercat I met that was working with the Dallas Mustangs, Dallas, man, and Tony. Man, you all grown up on me, baby. Golly, you a real coach, man. I was impressed.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate all the mentorship over the years, brother.
Golly, well, I'm old, man.
Still got a long way to go, man.
Yeah, you don't have a 12-year-old LeBron Nash with you in the parking lot of Duncanville High School like the first time I saw you. It's weird.
Listen,
hey, boss, I remember sitting beside you, you know, when I was coaching with the Dallas Mustangs. You were prep stars then, man. You were prep stars headed out to Bob Givens, you know, and then I think that's where I met Jeff, you know, and he got that first interview with Anthony Randolph.
Hey, you want to tell him what happened on that first Anthony Randolph interview?
Oh, man, it was, I don't want anybody to, I don't want to get in trouble, but, you know, Anthony Randolph, his circle didn't really like him to interview. And Tony had sent me down there to Bob Givens by myself. I think I was, 18, 19 at the time. And we went to go play in the tournament champions, big time tournament. And we had just lost to Curtis Malone's team, Coach Malone's team, DC Assault. And he played well against Michael Beasley. And, but you were the first one, Jeff, you know, after the game, you know, you asked, hey, could he interview? I'm like, man, Anthony, you want to interview? And so Anthony was like, man, you know the rules, coach. You know, I'm not supposed to talk to the media. And so, you know, Jeff got a chance to interview him, there at the tournament. That was his first interview. And then, you know, people kind of got a chance to, you know,
you're forgetting the part that Uncle Will didn't really.
See, I'm leaving out names, Jeff.
And I love, listen, I'm great with Will now, but man, Will did not want that interview to happen.
He didn't want that interview. I was in the doghouse for a long time for that one, Jeff. But you still my man. It's paid off dividends.
I'm shocked when Jeff got you in some stuff. I'm shocked.
Well, if we have time, we'll have Bossy tell the ultimate recruiting story. He doesn't even want to. The Reggie Rose recruiting story. Because he's worried. If he tells it, he's worried Reggie's going to come after him.
Nope. To get back on track here.
Yeah, let's go.
Bossy said something that was very important. He said that in order to evaluate, you got to be able to keep watching. You got to keep watching because a lot of these guys that you're watching right now, you watch them at one point and you come back 3.5 months later and you're like, you know, who is this guy? So, getting back on the road is critical for all our programs. You know, I'd like to get Coach Morgan's thought just on the evaluation piece, especially for that level, for the mid-major level. And the one thing I want to say, too, before Coach Morgan takes it, and this is something for young coaches, people like to use the term mid-major, and they use the word mid-major in such a like it's not a big deal. And I tell young Thundercats that's getting into coaching this all the time, I'm going to tell you something that shocks you. Mid-major players become pros. Better stop saying that. So mid-major players become pros. Somebody looked at Ja Morant and told him, you're mid-major. Somebody looked at Stephen Curry and said, you're mid-major. Somebody looked at CJ McCollum and said, you're mid-major. So it's certain guys that I'm about to go see, and they say, oh, coach, don't go see him. He's mid-major. I said, all right, young fella, I'll talk to you. Because I go kick over every stone because you don't know how these guys are going to develop. But go ahead. I just wanted to say that about people using that term mid-major. I try to teach younger coaches. You make some big mistakes in evaluating, assuming that a guy is a mid-major player. Because I looked on TV the other night, and Cam Payne was getting off, and he played at Murray State. Go ahead, coach.
No, for sure, for sure. No, I couldn't agree with you more on that. I think our situation here is very unique, just as in, you know, our culture itself. When Coach Valentine first got hired and I got on board, you know, where I was prior to, you know, we were busy around this time of the year, just taking transfer after transfer. And, you know, the first thing he said is, we're good. Like, because he had done such a really good job. Hello, are you there? Okay, because he had done such a really good job spending time with his guys over the past few years and the success the program had that, you know, we have four seniors that probably could have gone anywhere and played because of the success that they've had, and they all decided to come back, which is usually hard to do when you talk about a big major program, especially, like, you know, when a program is in transition the way ours is with a coach leaving, that gives these young men so many reasons for them to leave. But coach had done such a phenomenal job with that. So that gave us a leg up, just I would say in the 22 class to be able to like lock in and focus just on 22s, knowing that June was coming and we just dialed in on trying to set our calendar and set the guys that we wanted to come in early, the priority guys. But then we got a taste right away that, you know, those priority guys that we had spent a lot of time with recruiting over the past year, none of those dudes are ready to make a decision for whatever reason. And obviously the reason is because they hadn't been recruited. Like, they hadn't been on other campuses. So, you know, they hadn't been on your campus. Usually in the past, they would have come up for Elite Camp or maybe just would have stopped by if they were in town, but they hadn't had the chance to do that. So some of their family members just want to see other places. And you know how it is when you got a really good program, you know, that's an opportunity for them to, you know, look at that and say, okay, this is a good fit. But when they leave that program, now it's another opportunity for someone to step up and take that opportunity that's been presented to them. So, but what's been crazy for me is when we've gotten on the road, you know, this past week, you know, we thought that we had a grouping of dudes that we knew. So we do have guys that we love. But at the same time, there's been so many other guys to piggyback off what you said, CY, that, man, who is he? Who is he? And you got to just make sure, like, when you're in a program like ours, that you got to continue to keep identifying the ones that are going to be outstanding fits and stay locked in on them. But at the same time, there's so many guys that might be said to be high major and might have tons of high major love that you guys might not love. And those guys could fall, you know, to us potentially, or just the same guys that might not be good enough when we get a chance to get our eyes on them just the same. So it's been interesting for us because it's just kind of been like a reset button for everyone.
Hey, Jeff, I got a quick question for Pegues. Pegues, did you know Carlique Jones was that good coming out of Radford? I mean, that's the first time in a long time that I've seen a mid-major player transfer up to the ACC and be one of the dominant players. Coach Smith on my staff, he was on us about Carlique Jones. He said, I'm telling you, we played him when I'm at Clemson. The boy is a silverback. But I just didn't see the athleticism. But when we saw him, he's an evaluation that really has taught me something over for moving forward, because he was rough. Talk to me about Carlique Jones a little bit.
Well, honestly, Carlique being a Cincinnati guy, Coach Mack had a really good feel for him, you know, well before he got to Radford. And I appreciate you mentioning that, CY, because he was an awesome kid who, quite honestly, didn't get the full platform that Louisville basketball and college basketball itself normally provides kids. And for a kid like him to go to Radford, redshirt his first year, and then have all the success that he had, and then come here mainly to play on that stage and to give himself an opportunity to show everybody how talented he really is, to have to do that in a mask, to have to go through 2-3 week COVID pauses, and then not have, you know, everything that this situation that we have here, we're blessed enough to have here, normally provides, was tough. I felt that for him because he's an awesome kid. But we actually knew he was a dog, CY. We knew that he was different. You know, Mike Jones is one of my mentors in the business, who obviously coached him at Radford. In my conversations with him and some other people on their staff, we knew that he was an extremely talented kid who just needed a platform to show everybody how good he was. And it was great to see him go out in some big games and play well. He's doing really good in the combine so far. I think he'll eventually make somebody's team because the kid is just that talented. He loves the game. He's a throwback. He's an old school kid that just loves to be in the gym, loves to compete, loves to talk trash and let you know how good he is, you know. And we were fortunate to have him. We only wish that we could have got him back another year, you know. But he would have had to fill out a W-2 or something if he'd have came back another year. You know, he was fast approaching 24 years old. And he had to move on with his life. So, you know, we understood that. But awesome kid. The one thing I just want to, you know, mention with the 21 guys, I thought that, you know, for my boss in particular, Chris Mack, he's really big on kids, you know, representing themselves well on the phone. He's a big FaceTime guy, likes to see kids, you know, countenance and their energy on the phone. And, you know, can they talk? Can they, you know, have a good conversation about basketball and other things in life? And quite honestly, I thought that some of the kids, in particular, I have a kid in mind, Mike James from Oak Ridge High School. He was so phenomenal on the phone. First of all, just in terms of getting back to you. And when you talk to him, his character, his personality, you know, permeated through the phone, you know, and you felt that energy. And this is a kid going back a couple years ago that I saw as a junior in Oak Ridge High School play pickup one time. And I knew he was a good player when I saw him, but we weren't able to get back out and see him beyond that. And so we were really recruiting this kid based on his ability to represent himself on FaceTime phone calls and what the video footage that we had. And we couldn't be happier that he's here. We really got lucky with that one. So I just wanted to add that, like, it's so important for these kids, if they're listening, to be able to represent themselves well over the phone and to be able to talk and have conversation and not be a mute and be able to get back to coaches in a timely fashion. Every kid in the country wants to have Don to have a relationship with the head coach. If you ask them, like, what's the most important? Well, I want to have a relationship with the head. And then you can't get them on the phone. It's like, how are we going to have a relationship with you? Or if you get them on the phone, they got three words to say. You know, so he was a kid that really blew us away over the phone. So hopefully 2, 3, 4 years from now, whatever it is, he'll be a kid that can hopefully work himself in the league based on the interviews that he does with the NBA, because he did an awesome job and it really gave him an opportunity to come to Louisville largely because of that.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jeff, I got a quick question, because I think it kind of intersects with both what Coach Morgan said and what Coach McGee said. When we talk about the process by which these guys, the timeline that a lot of these prospects are going to decide. And I'm curious as to hear Bossy's feedback as well, because, you know, those kids in the catch 22 now, right? Because now we have the transfer portal. We have a number of guys who actually decided to come back to their schools, and you have a number of kids who haven't been seen yet. And you can be hot and heavy on a kid, and you know, in the back of his mind, and some may even articulate it, that, hey, Coach, I'm really interested, but I haven't gotten a chance to really play and play in front of that quote unquote high major coach or whatever. By the way, you know, we consider ourselves a high major. That's just how we look at it, right? And we're like, on one hand, you're like, I get it. Cause if it was my son, if I was in the shoes, I would want to do the same thing. But moving forward, there's 1,700 kids that's going to be in this transfer portal. It happened last spring. It's going to happen again. It may be even more. And I'm curious to see how many kids are do they feel a certain kind of way when they see Doug McDaniels just committed to Michigan and a Judah Mintz commits to Pittsburgh? Like that train is gone. And those kids got to understand, as quick as you may want to hold out and see if those other schools are going to come around, we got jobs we got to do too. And we're going to go to the second and third guy. And like those offers may not be there, but I'm curious to see from Bossy's perspective, has he found a lot of kids considering making commitments much earlier than they otherwise may have in the past?
Yeah, absolutely. Kids and their families right now are just totally messed up in the head over the transfer portal. It's got them scared stiff. They watched a lot of kids in the 2021 class now who are Division I players that cannot find a home. And they're worried, I don't want this to happen to me. Frankly, there were a lot of kids I found that were trying to commit before coaches saw them, because I think there are some that were afraid that, wow, this coach is going to get out there and see me, that he offered me either off of film or the word of somebody, and he's going to realize I'm not that level player. And so I need to get that before it's gone. But also at the same time, they do want to take those visits. They do want to get to know people. They do want to get recruited. And it's tough being a 17, 18 year old kid getting recruited and trying to find the right spot to go live out your dreams. But for these kids right now, I've been doing this a long time. I don't recall a group of kids that between the transfer portal, pressures of social media and everything, that are kind of more screwed up in the heads and that don't have an understanding of how this all really works and the process that coaches go through and the process that they need to go through. And it's difficult because I get asked advice all the time by players and their parents. And it's a fine line, because I won't ever tell a kid, hey, I think you should go here or there, because it's just opens up a Pandora's box of bad problems for me personally. And I don't ever want to, ultimately being, I don't want to tell a kid, hey, I think this is the best place for you, and then be wrong. I don't want that on my mind, but it's tough. I know it's going to be tough for you guys too, because I know there are guys that you went out last weekend thinking, yeah, oh, I can't wait to see this guy. And you're like, man, how do we wiggle out of this one? And I guarantee, I don't know if there's one on this phone call, but I know there's a lot of guys out there that probably had guys try and commit in the last couple of weeks, and you had to kind of pump the brakes and be like, you know what? Hey, let's make sure you go through this process all, you know, let's see who comes out and see you, make sure that this is really what you're comfortable with. And so it's on both ends, but I generally feel for these kids right now. They're in the most difficult time to be a recruit we've ever had. It's funny because it's the easiest for them to be seen in terms of highlights, video, whatever. Now you guys being back out on the road, but their decision is more difficult than ever, just because of so many factors going in, and that transfer portal on top of it is just really messing with these guys.
Yeah, I wanted to jump on what EB's was talking about in terms of the 2021s getting squeezed a little bit. And I think CY, you might have said it on a previous podcast, but one of the big impacts is going to be JUCO is going to be better now than ever. And I really think that the NEPSAC, with all the prep schools, it's going to be loaded, because you have a lot of kids who didn't maybe get the high major offer that they wanted. They didn't get the low major offer that they thought they were going to be a D1 kid. They ended up only getting D2 offers. So I know, just, you know, being up here in New England, it's going to be a really, really good year for postgrads. And that's going to be interesting to see how that works, especially this weekend with the NEPSAC event in Connecticut.
That's a great point, Brian. The one thing I was thinking about when you talk about recruiting, it's evaluation. I think the other part's relationships, right? But I think that's the other part that goes into being a good coach and good recruiting. And when you talk about prep schools, you know, I recruit internationally a lot, and with COVID and not being able to get overseas, whether it's Europe or Australia, I've had to rely on my relationships internationally, you know. And there's a prospect I can speak about now, because he's going to the G League Ignite, Dyson Daniels. He was somebody that I was told about 2 years ago. I've known him for a long time, but you know, I had to trust that he was that good. And then all of a sudden he goes, you know, to the NBA route, you know. And so relationships are important. I think those international kids won't get to places they typically would get to. So now they may get to prep schools or JUCOs, because that part of the world and part of basketball has kind of been lost in this recruiting phase.
And just to piggyback off of that too is, like, it's been crazy. Like, with no, like, networking opportunities outside of Zoom, I feel like we've capitalized on that. And I feel like a lot of us have probably gotten better, and there's strategies that we'll use now, whether it's Zoom, whether it's, you know, constant FaceTime with these guys, but not being able to, like, break bread with someone at the Final Four and, you know, come across, you know, Bossy or come across Goodman at the Final Four or, you know, AAU coaches, and being out at these events where now you just have to, like, cold call if you want to build extra relationships. Whereas usually we're building more and more relationships just because we're crossing paths with so many different new faces through AAU coaches, et cetera. But, you know, these past year and a half, it's been a little bit different where you've had to kind of like dig in, you know, go back to some of those books, open those up, turn some pages, you know, call some numbers, you know, try to rebuild some relationships that you hadn't had in a long time. So it's been definitely interesting for sure.
Am I going to see more guys not texting and looking at their phones during games this July than normal? Like, seriously, like, you know, you guys have seen dudes a lot, so you don't even have to worry by July. You've seen them in April. You've seen them in the high school season. So you've already got a feel on them. So everybody's texting. Everybody's shooting the shit. I'm able to talk to dudes. And, like, are you guys going to be more locked in? And are guys overall? And are we going to be able to see the ones that are really good because they are locked in? Is that crazy?
No, I think you're 100% correct.
I'll answer that one, Jeff. Yes. And I'm going to tell you, because I usually go and try to talk to everybody and distract them from who I'm trying to recruit.
You're right.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be doing as much talking as I used to do.
So that's legit. Man. Like, you guys really think that way? You'll walk into a gym, and if you got a guy that's a little bit under the radar, you'll go up to somebody else and distract them so they're not watching them?
I will. I don't know.
Pre-COVID, no doubt. July was, you know, I was notorious for that. You know, I can't speak for everybody else, but yeah. I'll be way more locked in, trying to sit away from everybody, front row, so I get a good seat and locked in with my staff. Man, we can get a great evaluation.
That's why I want to talk to one of the guys.
Sometimes I will whisper in the ear, I think this guy's a D2 guy, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
As you can't do it, five, boy, can't do it.
As you sit on court five, they're playing on court six. And look over there, you know.
I always try to find a guy. Go ahead.
I said I usually talk to CY for 30 minutes of the game last week in Georgia, man. It was 3 minutes and kept it moving. You're just out. Because of what you said to see the games, you know.
I got to find guys like Coach Simpkins and just figure out who he's looking at and what gym in D.C. somewhere. Because there's always a Justin Moore up and coming that we don't know about. That's a DeMatha boy that he's already got a hold on. So, oh, we got to find those guys, and he's good about being stealthy there.
We haven't talked about this, but I'll throw it out there before we wrap in a few minutes. But the impact that not going out in the last year is going to have on college basketball this year. Anybody want to take that? Is it as pronounced as I think it's going to be? And you throw that in there, and you're also throwing in all those transfers, right? So I've said this over and over. You guys have probably heard me. Like, I think it's going to be more than 50% overall in college basketball, every roster in Division I that's going to be new in their current place. So I think the quality of play is going to be awful in November and December because of that. But again, you guys not being able to evaluate in person, you know, how much of an impact is that going to make in terms of making it worse for the quality of play?
Oh, it's Ronnie Hamilton. Take it.
Yeah, you know, I think, Jeff, and I had this prediction, I think you're going to have probably more mid-year transfers this season than ever before.
Yeah.
You know, because we hadn't been on the road this past season. So I went back early and said we were surprised in a good way of some of our freshmen. I know some other guys probably have been surprised the other way, you know, and so not being able to see those guys over the course of the season, guys getting here in the summer and going through the fall, number one, not having seen them play, number two, them getting here thinking they were something that they weren't, or getting to a place they had never been before, I think you'll see more mid-year transfers than probably you've ever seen. And I know Urich them had one at their previous spot at Texas Tech, Damari Burnett, and I don't know all the reasons why he left, But when was the last time probably you would have had a McDonald's All-American leave at the middle of a year from a place that's really successful? And probably that was part of not being on the road, you know, with COVID, you know, going into the last season. So I think you'll see a lot of that. I think you'll see a lot of surprise players that'll pop up all of a sudden that went on all conference teams because we didn't see them. There's going to be more players that jump in terms of college basketball that have great years that you wouldn't have expected because we all weren't on the road. I think there'll be some surprise teams that because of COVID waivers, because of the portal, being able to play right away. And again, those freshmen maybe to come in and wasn't ready. So I think college basketball, what you think right now in June, what it may look like, and there's always surprises, is going to be more than ever in terms of this upcoming season, you know. And the other thing I was going to kind of flip it back to, and I don't want to get off subject too much on your question, but I would be curious to know some of you guys' thoughts on just, and I'm one of those ones where I love being on the road. I mean, if there's a game at 8 o'clock, I want to be at the first game they play. If there's a game at 9 p.m., I want to be the last one to leave. But one of the things with COVID that has really, I thought, been a blessing, I think George spoke on it earlier, is we got a chance to be around our guys the whole time this year. We couldn't be on the road. You know, so, man, the relationships with our players, you guys know, like in September, when we get back doing home visits, we're probably on the road 4 or 5 days a week, and you're not with your guys, man, you're calling back, and it was great to just be with your players doing out the season all year long. So my thought is, and I think the girls' side have it figured out a little bit. Like, they have a recruiting shutdown for a week. Can't call, you can't do anything. Man, they don't have the periods in June right now. So as much as I like being on the road, are we on the road too much? And I know, again, we're just getting back, so we got to kind of play catch up. But I think there's a lot to be said for could we do? We have live streams. We have all these platforms where we can see guys, and then we can confirm it when we see them in person. But I don't know if we're on the road too much. You know, is that something that, you know, after COVID that we can all kind of figure out the balance, obviously, to be on the road?
Hey, Ronnie, don't your wives want you out? Find out.
It depends on your marriage.
But let's be honest.
She enjoyed me being at home. I can't speak for everybody. I'm sure some that want them to be on the road, but I do. I really did. I just thought, and being at home, being with our players, obviously your families as well. You know, are we on the road too much? You know, in September, man, your September 9th hits is home visits. We're out there jumping around 4 or 5 days a week. So I think we can actually kind of make it a situation where we get the best of both worlds. Some of you guys.
Yeah, I can agree on that, man. It'll be interesting to see because, you know, this year you had the first time, you know, where guys could transfer and play right away. And we were all actually there on campus, you know what I mean, every day with our dudes. And it was like somewhat of a mass exodus for several programs or whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see, like, now, because I felt it this weekend, like being out and about. You know, now it's 3 or 4 days where you don't see your guys. So you got to make sure you're intentional, making sure, because you're not going to see them. You got to make sure you're texting and calling, you know, so just making sure you're staying on top of them. But when you're not present and you're not around as much as what you usually are, and you recruited some of those guys, like, how are they going to feel? Because they're not going to get as much love in the past as what, I mean, they're not going to get as much love as what they had gotten this past year. And then now with the new rule, you know, those guys, I could see that there might be a lot more guys who become unhappy just because, you know what I mean, we're out on the road recruiting. So you got to make sure, like you all said, that we're doing a good job with our guys at home.
Yeah, Jeff, to build on Ronnie, to build on that topic of, you know, how much we're out, but also how much time we have with our players here or on our campuses. Jeff, I actually think, to answer your question using that info, I think the game might be better this year. Because we have time this summer where we can work on developmental stuff with our players, where they're with our strength coach, where we're actually building team concepts that we all lost out on from March 12th, 13th, whatever it was, 2020, all the way up until we restarted. And, you know, as we all know, we all came back at different times in different states and on different campuses, and then there was so much disruption. So, you know, knock on wood, fingers crossed, in terms of COVID, if we continue to kind of come out of this the way we are right now, with the mental health aspect and the stressors on everybody, from the coaches to the players, about, like, yo, you know, is somebody going to pop a positive today? You know, that holding your breath in the morning, you're going in, are you focused on practice? You focus on, are we going to be able to practice today based off of how we testing results? So I think a lot of the disruptions, obviously, you know, the environment's going to be better. Hopefully we have fans in the stands and get back to a little bit more of a normal. So I do think the guys that missed out on the developmental stuff that played last year and programs, like we lost the whole summer to get that summer back. And even that fall, like a normal fall is invaluable, I think, for all of us as well. So I'm actually interested to see how that pans out.
Jeff, I think he's right. I think play may be better because of that. I think he's on to something. I want to say one more thing before, because I know we're about to shut it down. But Coach Williams, I wanted to give you your flowers. You said something at the beginning of the broadcast I thought was really, really good. I don't know if people caught it. I was a mid-major head coach at Georgia Southern in your league for 4 years. The decision for you guys to kind of operate outside of the box and do get everybody on campus in June, I think that's big time, man. I know Bob. I know he's really, really good. But for you guys to function in that matter, to kind of think outside the box as a mid-major program who fought their way in the top 25, I can see why you guys having success just having that thought process. Now, why did y'all decide to do it? Because y'all feel like your state is that loaded with players and you want to just concentrate on trying to find some diamonds in the rough in your state?
The relationships piece, to talk about what DP was talking about earlier, about how evaluations and relationships, I think those two things go hand in hand and are really huge. We evaluate really, really early, and we condense our list of top guys that we want to focus in on, and then we focus on getting them to our campus. And then the relationships piece, that applies to our team more than even our in recruiting and with parents and with potential student athletes. I think with the mental health, I read a book, you guys, that rocked me. It's called What Made Maddie Run. I don't know if you guys have heard of that book, but it's about a young student athlete that went to Penn to run track, and just a horrible story. Kate Fagan, a columnist for ESPN, wrote it. Anyway, the young lady ended up committing suicide second semester of her freshman year. And it totally changed me and how I look at our players. Like, what if that was going to be one of us? Like, we got a phone call. One of our players had just done that. Like, and so it made me look at our guys totally different. And this book was written right before COVID. So I think there's going to be isolation residue that also will have guys in the portal because they've been sitting at home doing nothing. And now they're away from home for the first time. Like, we've got four new freshmen here and we've been real keen on those guys. Like, what's going to happen when the going gets tough for those guys? How are they mentally? How are they adapting to being away from home after always being at home 24/7? You know what I mean? So, yeah, we got to do things differently. But I think the biggest factor in the portal is going to be relationally, because right now it's the society we're in. You know, going gets tough, people leave, and if there's no relationship there, there's going to be rebellion. And so we're going to spend 99% of our time on those relationships. Like, yeah, we all know we can coach ball. We all like to get better at dribble, pass, and shoot. But now more than ever, if you don't know your players, if you don't know what's going on with your players, we're all going to continue to be surprised. And you know, we're going to get poached by bigger schools, and it's going to happen more and more and more, where a guy comes to our school and really, really develops and blows up. And then, you know, like the big fish, there's always a bigger fish, right? So if the relationship's intact and they know that we're invested in them as a person, we're invested in growing them, I think our likelihood of hanging on to guys is going to be a lot stronger. And, you know, guys will work hard if they know you have their back. You know, I went to a small NAI school in Kansas City, Mid-America Nazarene. It's the reason I got into coaching, and it's because of the relationship I had with the head coach. We would get in my car, we'd go drive and sit down in a parking lot and just talk about life. We wouldn't even talk about basketball. And now fast forward to 2021, relationships are the most important thing in this business, in my opinion. And that's how we're functioning here at Furman.
Hey, Jeff, could I chime in real quick? I think it's two really important things. I think Ronnie hit on one of them. It's like, you know, Coach Williams as well. Two things that are really important, I think, with you're going to find a ton of transfers, because it's going to be a lot, because guys can transfer and not have to sit out. But I think because you had so many kids who are now going to schools and they have not, they can say they have a relationship with the staff, but they have no idea of the guys that they're playing with. They may see them on paper, but it's a whole lot different when you get a kid on campus for an official visit and you get a chance to hang with that those guys for, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours. These guys are walking into a situation where, like, they have no relationship whatsoever with the other 12 scholarship guys. The second thing is, you know, I remember as a freshman, you know, I'm playing for Gary Williams, who's a great coach, Hall of Fame coach, but he couldn't have been any different than my high school coach in Morgan Wooten. I never heard Coach Wooten curse. Gary Williams, I thought my name, my first name was motherfucker, right? And there are going to be so many guys. This is going to be their very first time in the heat of battle, and the coach is going, oh, my bad, CY, my bad.
Chill. See, I was good. CY, it's Simpkins. He did
it. Just bleep it out. That's my bad. Hey, but my point was that there are going to be so many guys. This is going to be the first time that they're going to be coached by the guy who recruited them on Zoom and told them how great they were and everything. Now, when the feet are held to the fire and they're challenged, I think a lot of guys, this is our culture. They just, this is going to be such a shock to the system. Their first thought's going to be, I got to go.
Yeah. All right. I was going to do a quick, and I don't know if everybody's in for it, 20 seconds. If you can't and somebody's got to go. I want to go around the room and ask the question of what's the one thing you would change in recruiting? And literally quick, like rapid fire, each person. Do we have time for that? Can everybody in? All right, let's do it. Let's do it quick. All right. Jimmy, why don't you start? I didn't throw this out to anybody beforehand, so this is all kind of off the cuff. But what for me, I've said this before, the one thing as a media person, I think it's gotten boring on the road. I would allow all you guys to do something creative, go out whenever you want for the most part. I know that goes against, you know, what you were saying, Ronnie. Have a dead period. Absolutely have a dead period when nothing in August or whenever it is, 2 weeks when nobody can make a call, nobody can visit anything. But when you're out, I want to see creativity. I want to see some fun things and whatever it is. So, all right, that's mine, but I'm just stalling to give Jimmy a little bit of time to come up with his idea because I threw this out.
No,
last minute
on the spot, but that's fine. I would say more face-to-face time with the recruits. I think that would be great. More opportunity to have face-to-face time with the guys and less stipulations on when it's dead and when you can have them here. And that allows you to get to know the guys better. So I would look to increase that where you could have more opportunities. It allows us to be more creative. It's a lot less, the ability to be creative is a lot less there when we're all limited on days. So more days to have face-to-face time.
DP?
I'll probably eliminate two things. The 10 visits for the players, like the 5 and 5, I think that becomes, I mean, you bring in a junior in this month in June, then you got to bring him back in September for football. I mean, it's. I feel like that's a lot. And then I'd eliminate Zooms, man. I got in the profession when you were writing notes and having to use your mouthpiece to get some kids on campus. Zooms drive me insane. So eliminate those two things for me.
All right. Dwayne?
I'll be honest with you, man. I don't have a whole lot. I mean, if there's anything, man, like I love barbecue. Maybe have barbecue at every damn hospitality spot, you know, that and cornbread, like, you know.
We'll be sleeping, like Coach. We'll be sleeping the game.
Anyway, just like my folks down in Houston, man. You go down there for a tournament, board. Oh, boy, they have you knocked out in the car missing that 1:30 game. But that's I don't really have a lot, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I miss Vegas too. That's the other thing I would get back in. All right. Vegas. Absolutely. 100%.
It's back, Jeff. It's back. Adidas is there in July, isn't it?
They need everything though. We need every circuit in Vegas, period. All right, Brian.
I would allow us to watch recruits play with our current players, like in a pickup game. Cause I think there's two things. There's evaluating how good a player is, their size, their height, their skill set, whatever. And then there's also evaluating their fit for your program, how you play. So I think if you're able to see how they mesh with guys, how they mesh with the other recruits you're bringing to campus, how they mesh with, you know, the freshmen, I think you get a better idea for, you know, are they the right level? Do they fit? That kind of thing. That would be one for me.
Mike?
Yeah, I agree. That's a good one. He actually stole mine. I think seeing those kids play with your guys and when they're on campus, almost giving us an opportunity to, like, get them on the court, you know, and work them out. You know, can they process your teaching points that you're making? Can they push through adversity? How good are they when they're tired and when they're going through something? You know, how well do they think the game? I think that, you know, less mistakes, maybe less guys in the transfer portal. If we actually had more of a hands-on approach with those guys and, you know, we're able to put them in an environment similar to the environment that they would be in if we take them, if they sign with us, you know, so I think that that would be good. You know, as crazy as it sounds, I wonder if you could ever get to a place where you could sit down with kids like on the road, like, you know, for a lot of these families, you know, especially these young kids, you know, you're talking about recruiting kids in the DMV, coming out to Louisville unofficially. That's a lot on those families. So when you're at these AAU events, is there a way that you can create an environment that, you know, doesn't get crazy and doesn't invite all of the foolishness, but at the same time, you're able to sit down and talk to a kid and his family while we're all in the same place and nobody is strapped, you know, financially, you know, and have to travel all the way across the country just to see an institution and meet with the staff.
I like that. I like that. Yurik?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. DP actually stole mine, man. I think the visits, there's just way too many visits for these prospects. Just my personal opinion. I like the old school of, you know, five their senior year, just because, you know, you at that time in the fall, I think they're closer to making a real decision. And then, you know, we as institutions have a better feel if we have a realistic chance, you know, to get that kid rather than being in the midst of 10 visits.
Ronnie?
You know, I mentioned earlier, I would like a recruiting shutdown, you know, for me. And I don't know when that time would be, but if it's maybe, you know, November, sometime in November when the season starts so you can focus on your team, or if there's a period in September or maybe after the season. I just think I like what the girls do. I do. And you know, everybody knows, man, I ain't got to call you. I ain't got to Zoom you. You know, I like that part of it. The other one maybe would be, you know, allowing those ninth graders, those incoming ninth graders to get on campus. I never really understood when they changed that a couple of years ago to where those rising ninth graders couldn't get on campus. I think the relationship piece of getting to know them and getting them on campus is pretty good. Those would be probably the two for me, you know, that I would change.
Cool. Bossy?
The EYBL, Under Armour Association, 3SSB are all great, but we have separated these guys away from the independent programs and made it so they only compete against a small group of people, so we don't get a full picture. This spring and to some extent last summer, not having those going on has been great. It's been more like when I came up, when you had, you know, the Southern Assault going against Pro Skills or something like that. That doesn't happen anymore. And I think that's a loss for everyone involved. I think it's a loss for the kids because they don't get to play against a broader scope of competition. I think it's a loss for the coaches. And I think it's really, really hurt those independent teams because there's so much pressure, especially as you go up a little bit higher, to be at those EYBL or shoe company circuit games because that's the way to be. And, you know, it hurts a lot of those kids because those teams are trying so hard to win. If you're a low and a mid-major, it's pretty much pointless to go to those things because the guys you're trying to recruit, they aren't playing. So I think a de-emphasis of those leagues will lead to guys maybe picking situations that are better for them to play in and to be recruited in, instead of like, oh, I, you know, I've got to feel the pressure of going and playing for a shoe team because that's the only way I can get recruited when it's not. And especially for the lower to mid-level kids, I think it's detrimental to a lot of them because they're losing out on opportunity playing in front of coaches.
Good point. Good point. George?
Yeah, Eric, I think that it's a great point. Like I saw you out at the Section 7, and I would love regional sites somehow. That was just spectacular what they did inside that, you know, that football field. They had 12 courts set up, and it was done really well, organized. So I feel like some type of way with maybe the high school stuff. I know it might be harder with the AAU. But I know some states try to do it where they work together. However, maybe having it more regionalized and organized even further. And I know they're building upon it each year. That'd be great because I thought it was a good use of time. And you got to see a lot of kids from a lot of different states where we weren't bouncing around everywhere. And then I think, you know, this is something that I don't think we can all control. But if there was a shot clock, you know, because in certain states you go see kids play and there's not a shot clock and style plays, it gets tough to evaluate the high school game when there's not a shot clock and to have a consistency of that. You know, and again, I know there's financial aspects of that with budgets. So I don't know how they would figure that out, but that's something I hope is down the pipeline in a lot of places.
CY?
Yeah, I think I just want to reiterate the two things that stick out to me is Ronnie saying we got to be able to get freshmen on campus. I think that's something in recruiting that's got to be changed back. That's the only way I can flip the blue bloods by getting these ninth graders on campus and building a relationship with them early. And I do think that the women got it figured out. They're always a little bit smarter than us in terms of having a shutdown. But in terms of rules and regulations, when we go out to see kids, I think they need to keep it exactly the way it is. I think we got to save these guys from themselves. You know, you give some of these guys some leeway, they'll be out there coaching the teams during the AAU games. You know what I mean? So I think we got to keep the rules and regulations in place in terms of when we go out.
All right. Maura, you're up last. Close it out.
Yeah, man, I would agree with Ronnie and CY just with the, you know, just trying to get the ninth graders on campus. It's funny because me and another staff member, we were laughing and joking about it. Like, you know, June 15th, we were able to call 2023s. And to be honest, like, I had no idea who I was calling. And that was part of that was because those guys hadn't been on campus because their rule had just changed, where they might have gotten on campus the fall before the pandemic hit. So it just made it different, you know, difficult for, you know, you're just calling people who people are telling you to call instead of actually calling who you know you should be calling. But then also I would say, you know, it sounds like, you know, Bossy he likes the NCAA Basketball Academy because it, you know, it kind of, you know, keeps the guys where they can play on both sides with their AAU team and their high school team. I would say just, you know, I know that Grand Canyon got some love. Try to see if we can get some mid-majors some love, just like Coach Williams said. You know, Furman, they have a really nice campus. So does Loyola Chicago. See if we can, you know, have one of those mid-majors or a couple of mid-majors be, you know, host sites for those events so those guys can see some of those campuses unlike they were probably would see on their own.
Perfect. Well, listen, I appreciate everybody coming on. I thought this was great. You know, hope to see all you guys on the road. I won't bother you as much this year, knowing that you got to be locked in. I don't want to add to the poor evaluations that have probably gone on over film the last, you know, watching those streams over the last year. So again, thanks for coming on, guys. Candid Coaches Conversations every single week. We have them with some of the top assistants in the country talking different topics, and we'll see you next week.